Fantastic to be here. So we're continuing the Advent series. So we've had Karen speak to us on hope and Mike on love and peace, and I get to speak on joy, which is wonderful. And we had that story read out, didn't we, at the beginning of the meeting of the angels visiting the shepherds on that hillside outside of Bethlehem all those years ago. And they came, and the shepherds were understandably terrified at what they saw, the shining brightness of the angels appearing. They said, "What on earth is going on?" And they shook with fear. And the angel said, "Don't worry, we've got fantastic news. We've got good news for you. Great news for all the people." He says, "Joy, joy, joy to the world." And they said, "A Saviour has been born this day. Saviour." And so the troubled shepherds then took it upon themselves to go and find out and see if it was true. So they went down into town and they found it just as the angels had said they would find it. They found this baby lying in a manger, whether no tears he made or whatever, no crying he made or anything like that, we don't know. But we do know he was lying there in this animal feed trough and with his mother and father. And they found it just as the angels had said. And for them, that was the confirmation that it was true. And so they'd go back and they'd start telling everybody what happened to them. And they were filled with joy. They were praising God. Filled with joy. Can you just imagine that on that night? Put yourself in that place. Crazy. Just your ordinary life. You're living out your ordinary life. You're doing what you've done every day. Getting up, going to work, getting the kids to school, just doing, you're doing your ordinary business, and all of a sudden a throng of angels appear. Probably most of us would say, "Hang on a minute, I haven't got time." We probably rush straight by in our modern lives. But that's what happened to them. They, in their job, you know, they were just doing their job, and this heavenly angels appeared, and it kind of changed things for them. And, you know, we're gearing up for Christmas. We're gearing up. We're celebrating the birth of Jesus. And Advent is about anticipating that, getting ready for that. And so this Advent, this is a thing of joy, a thing of great joy. And it burst in on their lives. And God wants to do that this morning for us. He just wants to burst in with joy. It's for all the people, that news. It wasn't just for those shepherds on the hill all those years ago. It was written down so that we could share it. We could share in their joy. So, God wants to give us a fresh perspective. Because one of the things, you see, for those shepherds, what had really changed? Had anything changed? Well, yes and no. They went back to the same old hilltop. They went back to the same bunch of sheep. They went back to the same day in, day out grind of chasing sheep, you know, leading them and into all those green pastures and stuff. That sounds so romantic, was it, when you're out there in the cold of the night and in the rain and whatever else. It sounds good. But they went back to their ordinary lives. They went back just to the humdrum. They went back to daily life. Nothing had much had changed at that one level. But then everything had changed. Everything had changed. They'd had an encounter which had made all the difference. And the reason that most of us are seated here this morning, if we're honest, is that actually nothing has changed, but everything's changed. Isn't that right? For me, that's true. Nothing changed, but everything changed. The day that I gave my life to Jesus, well, I'm confused about that even because it took 4 years. So I should say the season. But there were two distinct moments. The day that I gave my life to Jesus, nothing had changed. And yet everything had changed. I had an encounter with a God who loves me. It changed everything. It filled me with a sense of joy and a sense of peace. But actually, I had to get on with my ordinary life. God wants to remind us this morning of a heavenly perspective. Because basically, that's all that happened to the shepherds. They all of a sudden had a fresh perspective on who they were and what they were about and what life was about. They suddenly placed themselves into the story of Israel. Because Israel had been waiting for the Savior thousands of years. Been prophesied. David, 1,000 years earlier, had prophesied about the Messiah several times. But people were beginning to wonder whether God had forgotten about Israel. So the story was very dim. Sometimes in our lives, the story can get very dim. The story of that God has placed us in, this wonderful story, can get very, very dim, very small. But God comes to wake it up in us. He wants to do that this morning, to wake up that story, to remind us of who we are and why we are here. You know, I put that up. That was taken 2 weeks ago on a hilltop, on Helvellyn, in fact, in the Lake District. That's my brother, Mark, there. He's always ahead of me, apart from when we get above 5,000 metres. You have to take my word for that. But he's a fantastic brother. And when David Jones and I planned that trip away for a bunch of men, about 20 of us went, we anticipated it would be rainy. Because the Lake District in November is pretty often rainy. We thought it would be cold, yes, and we thought it would be windy, because it's very often windy. And we thought we would be struggling. And we geared up all of our talks for these men about how to survive the elements and how to really batten down the hatches and, you know, persevere through these difficult conditions. But look what we got. We got sunshine and snow. It's like God had totally messed with our heads in terms of all of our expectations were too small. And God said, no, I'm going to give you a much better time than what you anticipated. And that's one of the things that I was praying for this morning. You know, God said he wants to do for some of us here this morning. He wants to give us a fresh perspective on ourselves, on our families, on our lives. Part of that is by reminding us of the story. You know, God sits on the heaven, it says in Psalm 2. He sits on his throne and laughs. I like that picture. God is not fazed by anything. He's not worried about ISIS or the latest bird flu or any of these other things that come down the line that we read about if we've read the news. He's not worried. He laughs. Not because he doesn't care, but because he knows actually we're going on a good journey and actually we're going to get to a place which is wonderful. And the Bible's story is a story like that. It's a story of a God who loves us, who wants us, who designed you, who made you when you were in your mother's womb, who formed you for a purpose that you could live on this earth in love, in community, live a fruitful, full life, and contribute to his grand plan, which is to fill the whole world with love. And one day it will be. One day it will be. We need reminding of that. We're not some just little accident, random collisions of molecules produced by stardust over billions of years. You know, at one level, I don't care how God did it, but he did it and he designed me. That fills me with joy. Being a random product of chemical reactions does not fill me with any hope or any real joy or any sense of purpose. God wants us to know that he has a purpose for us. And it's setting yourself into that story that enables you to walk through the humdrum. It enables us to walk through the pain. Because God is a God who knows pain. Jesus, it said, endured the cross for the joy set before him. Hebrews 12:2. See, it's not that God is not aware of the pain. He's not aware of our struggles. He's aware that life is very difficult and actually came down and lived as one of us to show it how to live through those pains and troubles. But he said, I can only live like that by knowing the joy that's set before, by placing myself in the big picture and knowing actually that God is actually working something out wonderful for me, through me, in me, around me, continually working for good. And one day it will all be made well. So let's do that. Let's choose to place ourselves in that story this morning. That's a source of tremendous joy. Tremendous joy. We had a lot of joy that weekend. I've shown you that before, I'm sure, but that picture is amazing. Joy does not happen to us. It's something we choose, and we keep choosing it every day. It's a quote, and it's a true quote. You know, so many people think our emotions are things that happen to us, but they're not. They often flow as a result of our choices. And so I'm just encouraging us to choose joy. And one way to choose joy is to put ourselves in that fantastic story. You know, it's that enabled the Apostle Paul and Silas to sing songs when they were put in jail in Philippi. One day they were put in prison purely for sharing the good news. And that night, they sang songs. Fantastic. What are you? See, our joy does not depend on our circumstances. You see, you can say, oh, I'm not joyful for you, Colin. You're joyful you like to dance because you're in good circumstances. Actually, I'm in pain today. I've got a bit sciatica. But, you know, the truth is, our circumstances do not dictate the joy. They didn't dictate it for Paul and Silas. They chose joy and sang songs in the prison because they knew they were part of a bigger story. This was part of a thing they should expect if they're in that story. So we choose it despite our circumstances, not because of them. Paul, when he was in prison again, this time in Rome, in chains, whenever I think of joy, I automatically think of the book of Philippians. Because there he is in chains, in prison, you know, and yet he's encouraging everybody to live joyfully. And he starts off the letter by a couple of times saying, I will rejoice. There are people out there preaching the name of Jesus, he says, and some of them are doing it from good motives, some from bad, but I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to choose to rejoice. Let's read that out because it's a powerful passage that Paul prays as part of that letter. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on such things. See, the truth is that God loves us. The truth is that God is for us. My brother, you know, you saw a picture of him on the mountain. When he had a motorcycle accident at the age of 20, he was told he would never walk again properly. And yet he's climbing mountains. A few months after that accident, I went to his baptism, and I wasn't a Christian at the time. And he stood in front of the congregation there, and he, with his leg was still in calipers, being stretched. His arm was withered. And I remember him standing up and saying, you know, you may look at me now and just see a cripple, because that's what I am. But I want you to know that I was more crippled before I became a Christian. What had happened? In a sense, his life was worse than it was 6 months earlier, but he was declaring in front of a whole room of people like this that he was happier, that he was more joyful. Not because his circumstances were somehow better, but because actually he was now in a much better story. He now understood who he was. A child of God, loved. He'd found love, he'd found acceptance, he'd found purpose, he'd found meaning, and joy was now filling his heart. Not surprising, you know, he obviously also got a bit of healing too. That song we were singing earlier. Though I'm broken, I'm running into the arms of love. That's the source of joy. Though I'm broken, I'm running into the arms of love. And he chose that. Just like the shepherds, he then went out and telling everybody about the good news. He used to go everywhere just to proclaim. He told me, he actually invited me to a church meeting where I actually gave my life to Jesus. And he also went out on the streets telling strangers about the good news. So whilst he was still in calipers, limping around and still just withered arm, he was laying hands on the sick on the streets down in Southampton and the surrounding areas. You remember, he prayed once for a guy who was a leader of a gang on the streets. He met him, and this gang was making fun of them because they were out there telling people about Jesus. But this gang leader had broken knuckles from a fist fight. And my brother just said to him, look, I know that God loves you. He said, I don't know if he'll do anything when I pray, but I'd like to pray for your knuckles that they might get healed. I'm like, there's my brother, completely broken. Would you listen to someone who's completely broken telling you that God heals? It's crazy. It doesn't make sense. It only makes sense when you know the story, when you place yourself in the story of the God who loves outrageously and is looking for people to love other people through. And so my brother laid hands on this guy, and his knuckles were healed. I'd love to tell you that he then gave his life to Jesus and saw the light and actually started coming along and stopped making fun. That's not what happened. That day, anyway, who knows what happened after. But that day, his knuckles were healed. You see, our joy doesn't flow from our circumstances. It doesn't flow from our wealth. You know, when When I was earning the most in my career, I was in IT before leading church, and I got to the point where I was earning more money than I needed, but actually I was totally unfulfilled and unhappy. I was actually my lowest since becoming a Christian. During those years, I was earning the most money. Which is, you know, you hear people say that money can't buy you happiness. Well, money can buy you a certain amount of happiness. It can fend off problems. So it can buy you a thrill. And we went, I was going to put another picture up of us paragliding in the summer. That was a thrill for us, me and my family. My eight-year-old boy loved it. So we bought a bit of happiness there. But it doesn't buy joy. Joy is very different from happiness. Happiness, like pleasure, you can buy for a moment, but you have to keep buying it. Joy is like that underground stream that rises up, bubbles up, and keeps on flowing. There's joy in my life that will never, ever die out because I'm placed in the story of the God who loves me. Come on. You know that story. Put yourself in that story. That's the source of joy. And Paul's encouraging us to think about that. He's encouraging us to get our minds straight. Because the truth is, our emotions follow what we think about. If we let our minds get filled up with the news, we'll be fearful. That's the emotion that will come. All we do is dwell upon the negative news that we read. If we think about the future and about the fears, our health problems, our financial problems, our relationship problems, you know, our work problems, we will become depressed. That's what happens. So Paul says, don't do that. Bring it all to God, he says. Bring it all to your Father. Don't be anxious about anything. But with thankfulness, present your request to God, and the peace of God will guard your heart. Thankfulness is a real key. Let's not think about what we don't have. That leads to misery. That leads to envy. It leads to greed. But let's think about what we do have. Let's be thankful for that. You know, God taught me an amazing lesson about this. I just celebrated my mum's 80th this weekend. This is fantastic, glorious. But a while ago, my parents were having a difficult time. My mother left my father. My father left my mother. And at the time, my father was almost becoming a Christian. And I got really angry with God about that. And I was really getting more and more angry. And then a few weeks later, after he'd left my mum, he moved into a flat. He then becomes a Christian. And I get really angry with God. I could not believe it. I said, God, you could have worked this out better. It's not fair. I couldn't see anything. And then God, I was on holiday and God took me to this place. He said, Colin, you're letting Satan rob you of the joy that could be yours in what I'm doing in your father's life by thinking about the negative things that are happening in his life. Will you trust me? And I was so impacted by that. Just a simple revelation to stop thinking about the negative, but to think about actually to start thanking God for the positive. So I started to thank him for actually working in my father's life, for the joy my father was now getting in becoming a follower of Jesus. Because my father was getting joyful. So I started to thank him for that. And I got up on Sunday morning, and you may have been here, because I shared it in front of a church like this, Maidenhead, I think, or Marlow. And 2 weeks later, my dad phones me up and says, I'm moving back in with your mum. But the lesson for me was learnt. Regardless of what my dad would have chosen, the lesson for me was clear. Do not dwell on the negative, what you haven't got. You know, anybody like VeggieTales? Madame Blueberry. She was a very blueberry because she was always looking at what she didn't have. Stuff that she wanted or needed to make herself happy. But what she found was the secret of a happy heart was a thankful heart. I encourage us just to play that thankful game, just to think about the things that we could be thankful for. And what you will notice is actually the more you think about the things you should be thankful for, the more you just be grateful for your husband or for your wife or for your children or for your home or for your friends or for this wonderful church or for whatever, your job, whatever, this beautiful town, this country we live in, the more we thank God for those things, the more joy starts to well up in us because it flows. That's telling me I must get going. So, it's true. It's true. But the biggest joy obviously flows from knowing this. This is Jesus speaking in John chapter 16. And he speaks to them, you know, constantly that evening, the last evening he spent with his disciples, you know, telling them, you know, come on, the Father wants to be with you. The only way to be to the Father is with the Son. Come on, get to know him through me. If you love one another, we'll live with you. Basically, that was his message. But it takes about three chapters to say it if you love one another, we'll live with you. We'll come and be with you. Our desire is to live daily in communion with you. And listen to this. He said, most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament. Why would they weep and lament? Because we're skipping on now from the birth of Jesus to the death, and he's about to die. And he says, the world will rejoice because they think they've got rid of a troublemaker. He said, but you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. Turned into joy by the resurrection. Because the resurrection defeats our biggest enemy, which is death, which removes all fear from us. As a woman, when she's in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come, it says. As soon as this child's been born, she forgets about her pain. She forgets about her anguish for the joy that a human being's been born into this world. Therefore, you will have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. But listen to this. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy may be full. Because when we place ourselves into this story, we become children of God. It says those who receive him, he gives the right to become children of God. And the Father loves to give good things to his children. And we've heard a couple this morning. We heard Morgan, a gift from God. And though a tornado might be passing through, actually, it's going to be okay. Because God's going to work good, amazingly, abundantly good through it. Fantastic. The brown envelope. Just a little picture of God's care for us. So poignant. I'm so glad you shared that story. I think, what story should I share? I've got so many. I haven't got time to share them all. A little story, Gail, but of God's faithfulness. It's a picture for us all this morning. Whatever worries we are carrying, let's hand them over to him right now, because he cares for us. If you're not in the habit of praying, if you're not in the habit of handing over your worries to Jesus, can I just encourage you to do that this morning? You will be amazed at what happens. I was amazed when I first started handing over my worries to Jesus about the joy that flooded me. You will be amazed. I promise you, it will be a thing you will never, ever regret, because your Father loves you. He loves to answer prayer. I look around this room and see so many stories of answered prayer. And I'd love to be able to tell you some more stories now, but time does not permit. But that's the truth. Whether we've lost an envelope, whether we're worried about circumstances around our work, our health, our homes, the truth is, have you got a story to tell? Oh, no, you can. And, God is looking to answer prayer for us, to show himself real. Because what I've shared this morning, if it's real, it changes everything. If it's not real, let's forget about it. But the way to test if it's real or not is to do this. Just ask, because that's what I did. I just asked, I said, God, if you're there, will you come into my life? Will you come into my life? Will you rescue me? Will you help me to live a better life? Will you forgive me? And what I found was, he met me. He came into my life. With joy, with hope, with peace, and answers prayer after prayer after prayer. Often around babies, we've found so many answered prayer around babies. But prayer after prayer after prayer is real. It's not something that's just a good story, though it's a fantastic story. It's made all the more joyful because it's true. Can I just encourage us all to close our eyes for a moment? Because I want to finish. But what I want to just to give us a moment to just to be with God, because God is here and he hears every thought, every word. And whether we're used to doing this or whether we're not used to doing this, why don't we just right now think of one thing that we might ask God, our Father, to do for us? Because Jesus said we can ask him for anything in his name and he'll do it. Now, let's be clear. This God is a loving God. He's a gentle God. He's a kind God. He's not going to do anything which is not loving, gentle or kind. So please don't ask him to do anything that's totally against his nature. But he's generous, he's forgiving, he's powerful, he loves everybody. Let's ask him to do something in line with who he is right now. Father, thank you so much for sending Jesus 2,000 years ago. Thank you for that news you announced to the shepherd, joy to the world. Good news for all people. that there's a God in heaven who loves us, a God in heaven who's strong enough to overcome death, a God who is determined to reach every man, woman, and child. And from that day, we've seen your kingdom grow. Slowly, 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 but surely. And one day it will fill the whole earth. We thank you for that wonderful news. Help us, Lord Jesus, to place ourselves in that story. To remember that we live as part of that wonderful story as your children. And thank you for hearing our prayers this morning. I thank you for hearing every prayer that was prayed silently or whether whispered. I thank you for every prayer that was prayed. And thank you for Jesus' promise that you do what we ask. Pray, Father, that even as we've been together this morning, as we leave this place, joy will fill our hearts. Not because of anything's different necessarily, but because we've been reminded of the story we're a part of. Let joy fill our hearts this morning. You're a generous Father. Grant every heart here, I pray, joy in Jesus Christ. Help us to embrace you. We welcome you, Lord God. Thank you. Amen.